For 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500 Federal News Radio, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero, and my wonderful co-host, Dana Lake, will be returning next week, so don't forget to tune in. Also, remember, you can listen to any of our previously recorded shows that are archived for you absolutely free on the Village Green website. To access them, you can go to www.myvillagegreen.com and click on the Archive Show section. You can also go to iTunes and download the shows through iTunes just by typing in the search box, The Essentials of Healthy Living, and all of the shows will come up for you. So it's a great way to listen to previous shows that we have done. Of course, today we have a great show lined up for you. I have an in-studio special guest that I am thrilled to have with me today. We're going to be talking about children's health and kids' health. So we're going to cover a wide variety of topics related to this issue, everything from common childhood ailments, colds, stuffy noses, ear infections, diet, nutrition issues, all the way to some of the other topics related to childhood obesity and the fact that way more children than should are medicated. I don't know if that comes out right, but basically there's some interesting statistics out recently talking about the level of medication and the percentage of children that are taking prescription medications and how this is on the rise due to a lot of issues around childhood obesity, asthma, allergies, and a lot of the major issues that we see on the rise in children these days. So first, what I want to do is introduce my special guest today. Dr. Carrie Marshall is a licensed naturopathic doctor like myself who specializes in pediatrics, women's medicine, and chronic disease management. She's published several scientific papers, magazine articles, written a book on proteins and amino acids. She appears regularly on nationally syndicated radio shows and has appeared on ABC's A View from the Bay, PBS's Healing Quest, and NPR. She's a writer and a blogger for Kiwi Magazine. Dr. Marshall served as scientific advisor to Citizens for Health, a clinical advisor to Nordic Naturals, a nutrition advisor to the United States Sugar Association, and is a nutrition expert in her local public school district. Dr. Marshall is currently the medical director for Gaia Herbs, the leader in organic and herbal products. She also sees patients over at the Village Green on Tuesday. So, Dr. Marshall, thank you so much for being in studio with us today.
Thanks, Dr. Sarah. I'm glad to be here this morning.
So you have two wonderful children that I know very well, and I myself have a child. So let's talk about some of the issues that parents face with having kids. You know, I mean, the scenario is your child wakes up, they have a fever, they're maybe complaining that their ear hurts, your first knee-jerk reaction, you go to the pediatrician, make the appointment, they look in the ears, an ear infection, you get a script for antibiotics, and the process continues. I think these days a lot of parents are potentially starting to question that route of treatment. They're maybe seeing the antibiotics prescribed too much. They're hearing about antibiotic resistance. They're wondering, does my child really need a prescription antibiotic at the first sign of every kind of cold or infection that's going on? And I think this is a great place where naturopathic medicine can intervene and some really interesting talking points. So I know you have a lot of experience because you raised your children using antibiotics only when absolutely necessary, which is usually not oftentimes with routine ear infections. So I don't know. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. That's actually a great place to start because I think that's something that's really talked about in the media. And I think, you know, regular conventional pediatricians are really starting to finally embrace the overuse of antibiotics. And we're seeing a lot of antibiotic resistant bugs out there that are, you know, becoming extremely pathogenic and causing pretty severe pathology, both in adults and children alike. And a lot of it does stem from what you're talking about with our first knee-jerk reaction when a child is sick is we do, you know, call the doctor. Of course, it's human instinct as a parent as well. You know, And even when my own children are sick, you know, I really have to remind myself to separate myself from being a physician and being a parent and take a step back and say, okay, there's a fever. How high is the fever? You know, typically, if a fever is under 102, it's typically a virus. And that's something that's really important to remember, because antibiotics will not work for viruses. And if you bring your child to the doctor and they're running a low-grade fever like 101, 101.5, sometimes even 102.5, they can't prescribe an antibiotic because it's simply not going to work. And, you know, going back to childhood ear infections, something that's becoming better understood about the particular bugs that cause these ear infections, 80% of the time, those ear infections are caused by a virus. And so more and more frequently now, when children are going to their pediatrician for an ear infection, the doctor's telling them to take Tylenol for the pain, to mitigate the pain, rather than prescribing antibiotics. And then what happens is these parents and these poor children who are in pain and who are getting repeat ear infections, they're not able to have a solution. And that's where naturopathic medicine and other integrative therapies can really come in handy as a means of addressing the underlying cause. Why is this child getting repeated infections? Is it due to something they're eating? Is it due to lack of sleep? Is it due to just lowered immunity in general? And so those are the things when you bring your child to a naturopath, which is very different than going to a traditional pediatrician, that we're really playing detective and we're trying to, you know, really understand better what is actually triggering those repeat infections. You know, obviously, if a child comes in, they have fluid in the ear, a bulging eardrum, you know, 103 or higher fever, that's going to be a bacterial ear infection. And that's when antibiotics may very well be warranted. So there is a time and place for antibiotics, but it's really important to understand when that time is.
Right. So let's talk about, as a parent, you know, I mean, people, I think, you go down the usual route of treatment because they don't know of any really other good options. And as a parent, if you have a child that has a fever, that is complaining, that's sick, you know, you're scared, you don't want to see them suffer, and you're afraid that as a parent, if you don't do something, that it could get worse and you could jeopardize the health of your child. So, you know, I just think it's important for people to understand that there are very good therapies out there for helping children move through these things when the pediatrician says antibiotics aren't indicated, or when a good assessment is made and it's understood that antibiotics may not be the right course of action because it's viral. So let's talk about some of the strategies that, you know, we use as naturopathic doctors when we assess the situation and we understand that antibiotics probably aren't necessary and we can get this child to move through this ear infection or move through this upper respiratory infection without any major consequences, without the use of a prescription medication, by letting their immune system get over it. And I will say, I think that is important, because a lot of times when you get in this pattern of using antibiotics to treat every ear infection, that's when you get into the pattern of recurrent ear infections. And oftentimes, if you just let a child move through one or two on their own, they're much less likely to have them recurrently. But let's talk about some of the different strategies we have in our tool bag for dealing with, since we're on the topic of like a chronic ear infection. Child comes in, you look in their ears, there's some inflammation in the eardrum, the child's pulling on their ear, there's maybe a low-grade fever, child's uncomfortable, you know, parents are like, all right, well, you're not going to give me antibiotics, what are you going to do? So let's talk about some of the things that we would do as naturopaths.
Sure. There's a lot of different arenas. You know, I would say the three primary ones are going to be dietary intervention, hydrotherapy, which is more of a topical application. We'll talk about the specifics of that. And then also some botanical or nutrient intervention as well to help deal with the immune system. And, you know, as far as nutrition goes, I'm sure you and I can both agree, there's some really common trigger foods for children that can increase mucus production. And the important thing to understand about mucus production, you know, whether it's in our ears, our nose, our throat, our sinuses, our lungs, they all have a lining of what's called epithelial tissue. And whenever there's an irritation, whether it be in the form of, you know, pollen or dust or you know, an infection like a bacteria or a virus, whenever there's that initial irritation, it causes inflammation of the mucous membranes. Anytime your mucous membranes are inflamed, the natural response is to produce mucus. So in addition to mitigating the actual microbial response going on, you also have to deal with the inflammatory response. And sometimes with chronic ear infections, it's actually chronic inflammation that's causing the production of fluid within the ear. So it's kind of a twofold thing in terms of understanding it. It's not simply, oh, let's get rid of the virus or let's get rid of the bacteria. So when we're talking about chronic infection, and this could be the same with a chronic cough too, any child or adult for that matter that has a chronic cough has inflammation of the respiratory tissue in the bronchial passageways. And so a lot of it will be dealing with just decreasing inflammation, which will over time decrease mucus production as well. So as far as foods go, you know, some of the more common triggers, and this will vary from individual to individual, but certainly dairy is probably the number one mucus producing agent. So, you know, I will almost always tell parents, it doesn't mean your child has an allergy to dairy. It's literally a temporary sensitivity that's contributing to the overall irritation and inflammation. So a dairy reduction during that period of time until the child can move past that particular chronic you know, exasperation that they're dealing with is warranted. And so is juice. You know, juice can really, you know, a lot of kids drink a lot of juice. And while, you know, it can be loaded with vitamins and minerals, it's also very high in sugar content. And so a lot of times that high sugar content can also trigger mucus production as well. So dairy and juice are two of the primary things that I will tell parents to eliminate from a child's diet. And again, this is the same thing. As an adult, if you have a chronic ear thing or a chronic respiratory thing, I would make the same recommendation for an adult as well.
Yeah, and I think there's a fair amount of literature talking about removing dairy from children's diets and its effect on reducing recurrent rates of ear infections. I don't have the stats in front of me right now, but I'm pretty sure there's been some clinical trials that have shown that pulling dairy out of a child with chronic ear infections, removing dairy from the diet can resolve a lot of those cases, because dairy, even if there's not a diagnosed allergy, a true IgE-mediated response. As you mentioned, dairy, by the nature of some of the fats that are in it, it is just a highly mucus-forming food and will exacerbate a lot of the mucus production on the mucous membrane. So definitely cutting out dairy, cutting out juice, getting your children to drink more water during that time if you can, because the water, it will help thin any of the mucus secretions, are some of the most basic dietary recommendations that we would make for a child who has an ear infection. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the herbs and some of the other things in the sort of medicine toolbox that we have that we might use to help a child move through an upper respiratory infection without a prescriptive antibiotic when that is appropriate. So this is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM Federal News Radio, and we're going to be back right after this break.
Since 1973, Megafood has been providing supplements which harness the power of phytonutrient-rich whole foods. For optimum nutrition and true vitality, we need foods which have not been damaged by heat. Megafood's state-of-the-art cold fusion process naturally protects the delicate phytonutrients present in whole food. Supplement daily with an easy-to-digest Megafood formula and enjoy the best that food has to offer. For information, call 800-848-2542.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet. committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
For over 30 years, Gero Formulas has been formulating high-quality nutritional products. Our scientists and health professionals insist on doing things the old-fashioned way, with clinical studies and scientific research, because the true test of a company is the purity, potency, and value of its products, and meeting the highest expectations of those who matter most, our customers. To learn more about our formulas and to request free samples, visit JARROW.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM Federal News Radio, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero, and my wonderful co-host Dana Lake will be returning next week with another wonderful show. I have in studio with me today Dr. Carrie Marshall, who is a naturopathic doctor who specializes in pediatrics and women's medicine. And we're here, the last segment we were talking about some issues around common childhood infections. We've been talking about ear infections. I think this is definitely an important topic to cover when discussing children's health, because I would say in the first, 3 years of life, this is probably the most common infectious presentation that will warrant a visit to the pediatrician and a prescription for antibiotics. And what we've been talking about is how really what the literature and the science, emerging science, is showing us is that a lot of these times and a lot of these infections aren't really bacterial, and antibiotics aren't really the most appropriate intervention for a lot of these. But they are given because it's the only intervention that is really being offered, or the only one that the pediatrician has that can offer the parent. And a lot of times it is often the many pediatricians are hesitant to prescribe the antibiotics, but do so on the will of the parents, because the parents want something to relieve the suffering of their child, and want, don't want to be responsible for any kind of suffering that their child might endure, which is clearly understandable, except for the fact that when you start to really understand how a child's immune system is developing and how their body is working, you are going to be doing them more harm by over-medicating them with antibiotics and over-treating things that don't need to be treated, rather than letting their immune system develop and grow. The immune system is actively developing, as you would agree, Dr. Marshall, until age 7 and even after that. But it's an important part of immune development and learning about how their immune system should work to move through these infections and to move through them safely. So as most parents out there don't have a medical background and don't have the training to know when to medicate and when not to medicate, it's really important to work with somebody like a naturopathic doctor or somebody who knows how to use alternative remedies and alternative therapies to help with some of these childhood illnesses, so that you have options. So that if you take your child to the pediatrician and you say, well, yeah, I know there's a little bit of an ear infection, but do you think we need antibiotics? And the pediatrician says, no, you probably don't need antibiotics. I can prescribe them if you'd like. If you as a parent have another option and say, okay, well, no, that's all right, I have other mechanisms, other therapies that I can go to help my child through this, then I'm sure you're going to have the pediatrician on board, and you're doing your child a favor by building their immune system, by allowing them to deal with the infection on their own. So in the last segment, we talked about, Dr. Marshall shared with us some recommendations about some dietary things that you may want to consider if your child's dealing with an upper respiratory or ear infection. We talked about removing dairy from the diet for a short period of time. I would say in kids with chronic ear infections, a longer elimination period of dairy would be a good idea. Eliminating high sugar foods, so of course candies and sweets and things that are high in sugar. But as Dr. Marshall mentioned, juice oftentimes slips in there. A lot of times parents will give juice juice because they think it has a lot of vitamins and minerals, which it does, but it also does contain a lot of sugar, which can be somewhat crippling to the immune system and also promote the inflammation in the mucous membranes. So in this segment, I just want to start this one off by talking about some of the herbs that are safe to use in children, or some of the things from the natural pharmacy that can be safe in supporting the immune system, that have some antibacterial, antiviral effects, things that can help your child feel more comfortable during the infection as their body moves through it, and other resources that we have from sort of the natural toolbox. So Dr. Marshall, I'll let you introduce a couple of those ideas and we can talk about them.
Sure. You know, there's certainly a lot of herbs out there and you know, a pretty good handful of herbal products for kids. It is important when you're choosing an herbal product to really go with one of the kids' lines. And there's a number of them out there. You know, Gaia has a Gaia Kids line, Herbs for Kids. There's literally a company called Herbs for Kids. Eclectic Institute has a product line as well. So the thing about the kids' lines is they're specific for kids' dosing, and oftentimes there'll be very specific dosing protocols for different age groups, which are extremely important to understand. And these are kid-tested products, so that means they taste good generally for most kids. You know, it's hard to get an adult formula into a child because they just don't taste good. It's plain and simple. You know, there's a few primary go-to botanicals when we think about, you know, viruses, bacteria, things like that. You know, the primary antiviral herb that's certainly got a lot of publicity last year around, you know, flu season and H1N1 is elderberry, black elderberry. And there's some really wonderful black elderberry syrups out on the marketplace. There's some specific pediatric black elderberry syrups. And black elderberry is actually a botanical that has been found in clinical trials to be effective at reducing the severity and duration of flu symptoms. And, you know, it's important. I know we've been talking about ear infections, but it's important to understand the difference between flu and a bacteria, because as I mentioned before, most viruses will have a fever under 102 degrees. However, flu is the exception. Influenza is a virus, and typically people will have a fever over 102. So how do you differentiate influenza from a bacteria? Typically with the flu, people feel like they literally got hit by a truck. So in addition to the fever and maybe some upper respiratory symptoms, there's typically a headache and body aches associated with the flu. Because again, you don't want to go to the doctor if you have the flu and go on an antibiotic, because ultimately you'll lower your immunity by going on an antibiotic when you have the flu, and you just don't want to do that. So elderberry would be the primary go-to botanical for flu or even other viruses, but it's very specific to the flu. Other botanicals that are great for viruses would be something like echinacea. There's been a lot of negative media attention around echinacea. It's taken some big hits and some big studies in pretty reputable journals over the years, in JAMA and New England Journal of Medicine. And really what the outcomes of those studies, and if you really read the actual study rather than just the media take on it, you can understand that there were some positive aspects to the study. One thing that we learned is that, you know, when I think a lot of us know what echinacea looks like, it's that beautiful purple cone flower, and many of us grow it in our gardens as well. And the important thing to understand about echinacea is each part of the echinacea plant is very unique to different phases of the immune cycle. So we have the echinacea roots that grow underground, and then we have what we call the echinacea aerial parts, and that's what grows above the ground. So that's literally the flower, the leaf, the stem. So what we found from these studies, and, you know, even in the negative study, we found that they gave the wrong part of the plant to people during the wrong part of the immune cycle. So we found that it didn't work, you know, when you give the above ground parts of the plant for someone who's acutely sick, it's not going to work. And in fact, in one study that was published in JAMA a few years ago that said echinacea didn't work, it was the first of the big studies to come out. They used the above ground part of the plant for kids with acute rhinovirus and acute infections, and it didn't work. But what they found was that these children got fewer subsequent infections. And that's an example that we're talking about today with kids who are getting chronic ear infections. What is something that you can give a child regularly every day that's going to help prevent multiple infection after infection? And so echinacea, if you're using the above ground part, so if you're looking at the label of an echinacea product, make sure it says aerial portions and not just roots. The echinacea root, however, would be the go-to herb if a child or an adult, again, is having an acute infection, because what we found is there's important fractions within the echinacea root. They're called alkylamides, specifically isobutylamides, and they actually mitigate the inflammatory response that I talked about in the mucous membranes that will in turn produce mucus. So the important take home from that is root for acute and above ground portion for more chronic infections. And that's how to simply understand echinacea. So it does work. You just need to make sure you get the right part of the plant and the right part of the cycle. And then lastly, golden seal is the last one. And that's, again, one that we know a lot about. And that is very, very specific to being antibacterial. So again, the difference between choosing a product that's going to be for a bacteria or a virus is you're going to want to choose golden seal for an more of what you're looking for is an antibiotic response. And again, golden seal is not a pleasant tasting herb, so be sure to get a children's echinacea golden seal product or a straight golden seal children's product that will have, it'll be in a glycerin base, which will be sweeter tasting, so the child will tolerate it much better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great advice. So let's talk about, and a lot of the children's products that you'll find for immune support are going to, primary ingredients are going to be things like echinacea and golden seal and elderberry. They have a long safety record of use in children. And, you know, what's important to understand is you use them with your child according to specific dosing recommendations that you get from somebody who knows what they're doing, hopefully. And, you know, part of the process is waiting for the child's immune system to move through the infection. So it's the same thing where if it's a viral infection and you give antibiotics, the child gets better, sometimes not even as related to the fact that they got antibiotics, it's just their body moving through it. So how do we help keep our children comfortable? And how do we try and mitigate some of the issues related to pain, discomfort, fever as their body moves through?
You know, I think one of the things that we run into a lot, and it's the pressure that we're put on, you know, as parents and even in our own job is, you know, to take time off work, whether we're sick or our child's sick. Truly, the most important thing that you can do for your child or yourself when you're sick is sleep. Mm-hmm. You know, if your kid's sick, put them on the couch, give them a blanket, put on, you know, their favorite movie, or they really, you need to do things that are going to help soothe them, literally. I mentioned hydrotherapy earlier. That's a great example of soothing therapies, whether it's as simple as getting a cool washcloth if they have a fever, doing a hot compress on the ear or a hot water bottle, or even a hot water bottle on their belly if they're having a bellyache. You have to remember simple things that your grandmother taught you how to do, or your grandmother did for you when you were a child. Speaking of which, my grandmother turns 99 today.
Wow. Pretty happy amazing. Birthday to her. That is amazing.
But, you know, you really have to look back and say, what would my grandmother have done for me when I was at her house as a child? And it's really those simple therapies, making some tea with honey. Tea is really a great thing to introduce to children at a young age. You know, I recommend, you know, for every child, you know, by time they turn one, that they should get a teapot. You know, a cute little teapot is a gift. And when they're ill, again, whether it's a tummy ache, a headache, acute viral infection, make a pot of tea and make it about something that, you know, make it a, you know, a sit down thing like, oh, let's have a tea party and enjoy something therapeutic with them and make it not such a miserable experience about being sick and try and right. Turn it into something pleasant. Because a lot of it, too, your mood and how you feel about it will also ultimately affect your immune system.
Sure. Yeah, the hydrotherapies work great for the ear pain. As Dr. Marshall mentioned, the warm compresses behind or around the ear can be definitely relieving. And then another good trick for ear pain can be eardrops, olive oil. Usually they're combined with garlic and sometimes
and
an herb called mullein.
And St. John's wort.
Mm-hmm. And they're drops in the ear. Now, of course, you want to ideally have a physician look in your child's ear before you use an eardrop, especially if your child has ever had a tendency to rupture their ear membrane. But for most children, it's not really much of an issue, and it's a wonderful way to deliver some antimicrobial agents directly to where the infection is. And also it's just very soothing and oftentimes can be pain relieving and reduce inflammation in the inner ear as the child's immune system moves through the ear infection.
So the one thing with the eardrops is they usually come in little dropper bottles. And what I will recommend to parents is when you, you know, pull up the liquid into the dropper is to actually put your thumb over the end where it drips out and then under some warm water, not hot water because you don't want to overheat it, but put the glass tube with the oil in it under some warm water. And then you can actually warm up that eardrop and it'll be even that much more soothing when you apply, say, 2 to 4 drops to each ear. And I always recommend that parents also apply it to the unaffected ear as well. If it appears there's only one ear where there's an infection, of course, you don't want it to spread. So it's always good to put it in both ears and always start with the ear that's not infected because you never want to put the bulb from the infected ear to the non-infected ear. And then just drop a couple drops in each ear and do it a few times a day, and it can bring incredible relief.
So we're going to wrap up this segment. Hopefully that was helpful. When we come back from the break, we're going to pick up this conversation on other common childhood ailments and other issues related to children's health. So don't go anywhere. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM Federal News Radio, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Whether you're an active baby boomer, a weekend warrior, or a professional athlete, Boron's Arnicare Gel is the perfect solution to all life's little injuries. Arnicare, which contains the healing benefits of homeopathic Arnica Montana, can be used safely to treat muscle pain, stiffness, swelling, and bruising due to minor injuries, overexertion, and surgery. The non-greasy gel has no artificial colors, perfumes, or parabens. Arnicare is also available in cream and ointment formulas. You can find Arnicare at Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Visit Arnicare on the web at arnicare.com.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. They are the only raw multivitamin to include live enzymes and probiotics, amino acids, and antioxidants. They are gluten and dairy free with no soy allergens. Vitamin Code is uncooked, untreated, unadulterated, and binder free. Vitamin Code multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Get the one tiny pearl that delivers big acidophilus, 900% more. Get acidophilus pearls from Enzymatic Therapy. Each little pearl-shaped capsule makes a big impact, delivering up to 900% more live probiotics to the intestine than other products. This revolutionary product aids digestion, supports a healthy immune system, and is perfect for travelers who want to enhance intestinal health. This season, make sure to take the pearls that give you big acidophilus. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D, with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM Federal News Radio, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host, Dr. Kevin Passero, and don't forget to tune in next week. My wonderful co-host will be returning. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m., so don't forget to tune in. Also, all of our previously recorded shows are archived for you and available for absolutely free by going to www.myvillagegreen.com and clicking on the archive show section, or you can just, if you have a an iPod, an iPhone, iTunes on your computer. If you go to the iTunes store and type in the search box, Essentials of Healthy Living, all of our shows will come up and you can download in podcastable format for absolutely free. So it's a great way. Download shows, listen to them on your commute, listen to them while you go for a jog. There's really a lot of great information packed in the shows we've been doing for the last 2.5 years. Just a quick mention, if you haven't heard of the Village Green Apothecary, we're located over on West Cedar Lane. It's a health and wellness pharmacy that's been there for over 40 years, selling and delivering care related to health and wellness. We have a regular pharmacy to get your regular prescriptions filled. We also have a compounding pharmacy, which can make custom prescription medications like bioidentical hormones and thyroid medication, and also does custom nutritional compounds, which are very popular and very useful, especially in pediatric populations and many populations. They also have over 10,000 different health and wellness products and a whole slew of experts there on staff, from nutritionists to herbalists to naturopathic doctors, there to answer your questions and help you make selections about which health and wellness products might be right for you. So don't forget to stop in. Today, we've been talking about childhood ailments, childhood health. In the first two segments, we covered some basic stuff around immune support and dealing with probably the most common childhood issue, which is ear infections, especially for young kids age 0 to 3. And we gave you some good recommendations of things you can try for that. Just as a quick note, some other basic immune support stuff. Your child should be on a good multivitamin. Getting children on a good probiotic. There's a lot of great research showing that long-term probiotic therapy can increase immunity and help resist and reduce instances of ear infections and acute upper respiratory illnesses. Also, getting your child on a good vitamin D supplement. I think the recommendation for children is between 400 and 600 IUs. So vitamin D is a wonderful thing to support children's immune systems, especially through the wintertime. So those are all things to consider, all very safe, very well-documented safety in children, and can be used year-round every day to ensure your child's immune health. In this segment, we're going to talk about some other issues related to childhood illness. There was a great article that we're going to be sort of referencing a little bit and using as a springboard to bring up some of these topics. That was in the Wall Street Journal about 2 or 3 weeks ago on Tuesday, December 28th. And it was called So Young and So Many Pills. And it talks about the amount of medications that children are taking and how it's very much on the rise. And I think in this segment, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the psychosocial and issues around a lot of the medications that are used for children. So, for example, from ages of children from 0 to 19 years old, there's 24 million prescriptions for ADD medications, 7 million in children 0 to 9 years old, and 17 million in children 10 to 19 years old. For antidepressants, again, from children 0 to 9 years old, 1 million prescriptions written in 2009 for children for antidepressants, and almost 9 million for children 10 to 19 years old. Antipsychotics, 6.5 million prescriptions for children. Antihypertensives, 5 million prescriptions. Sleep aids, 300,000. Diabetes drugs, 400,000. Statin medications, 100,000. So these are drastically increasing numbers. So Dr. Marshall, you know, where do you want to start with this? I mean, there's so much to talk about. What topics, you know? I'll let you start with one of these topics because I don't know where to start.
Well, I was going to say, wow, yeah. That pretty much sums it up. You know, I'd like to say it's surprising, but based on what I see in my clinical practice and, you know, also some of the work that I've done around the school lunch program and looking at childhood obesity numbers, you know, 1 in 3 children today are obese, and that's alarming. And I think, you know, some of those numbers that you reference with regard to statins, which, you know, for those of you who don't know what a statin is, that will help lower cholesterol, or hypertension medications, as you mentioned. I mean, those are things that are alarming. Why in the world are children on medications that are reducing their blood pressure and cholesterol? Why are we not addressing it as a nation?
Yep.
About diet, nutrition, exercise, that's what we need to be doing. We need to be addressing the underlying factors of disease. You know, when we're talking about the emotional components, anxiety, depression, those are very, very real things for a child to experience and for a parent to have to deal with. Again, talking about when a child's acutely sick, no parent likes to see their child suffer. And if your child has anxiety or depression, that can be that much more plaguing for a parent because that's an everyday long-term thing. And so it does need to be dealt with. But what we need to do is begin to address, are we going to simply put a child on a medication, a psych med, indefinitely for the rest of their life? And unless we, you know, can really look at how can we help this child identify the things that are causing them anxiety or the things that are causing them to be depressed. You know, certainly some of them are truly organic and they're not within a locus of control. They may be due to true defects in some of their bodily systems, but more often than not, they're a consequence of events or circumstances in their life. And those are what need to be addressed rather than just suppressed. And, you know, there's a lot of different therapies, particularly in naturopathic medicine, that we have in our toolbox. You know, one of them, obviously, you know, and this is, you know, our primary goal within naturopathic medicine or most integrative therapies, again, is to address the underlying cause. And so, again, play detective, figure out what's causing that child to be in that particular situation. Is it an acute experience like a death of a parent or a sibling or a pet or, you know, something traumatic, a divorce? You know, marital instability is probably the number one cause for depression and or anxiety. So it may even be something where the parents aren't even identifying what their own relationship is doing to their children. And so that's a really important thing, that it's like, you know, the parents might be having problems with their marriage, so let's medicate the kids. Mm-hmm. And then that'll make everything better. You know, that it's just not always the solution. So it's really important when you're dealing with children to bring in a professional that can really take a step back and without medication and understand what's going on in the situation to bring some light to it. You know, again, there are a number of other components, whether it be specific herbs that can help with, and we'll talk about those specific for anxiety or depression. Omega-3 fatty acids, I know when you were talking about some of the things that kids can take every day, like multi-probiotic vitamin D, you know, for me personally, omega-3 fatty acids, so a fish oil supplement, is something that I make sure that almost all my pediatric patients are on, because let's face it, kids don't eat fish all the time. Mm-hmm. And nor should they, because, you know, some of the contaminants or pollutants that are in fish, it's good to eat once in a while, but it's not good to eat daily. Yet omega-3s are an essential fatty acid. So it is something that's essential for us to get in our diet. And because the nervous system is rapidly developing up to the age of 2, in fact, the brain is at the largest size that it will ever be at the age of 2. And then it actually starts to shrink, which is pretty sad. And then up to age 7, it's still pretty rapidly developing. And then, much of the, you know, the cognitive development, you know, some of the specific parts of the brain are pretty rapidly developing till age 7. So that's a pretty fundamental window.
Our brain
window.
Continues to develop until almost age 21
18,
or 25.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And we know that, especially when we look at, you know, say groups of teenage boys, which, you know, start to experience, you know, during that time of puberty, some pretty dramatic changes in their behavior and in their mood. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, teens are obviously the biggest group of people that we see as being depressed. And again, a lot of it's circumstantial based on things that they're experiencing in their own life. But there's also the whole hormonal, you know, influence. Yep. That they don't understand what's going on in their body. Their body is growing and changing at a rate that's much quicker than anyone can understand or keep up with. And so these are natural processes. It doesn't mean that we need to medicate our children so that they don't feel the experience. We need to honor the experience that they're going through and help give them tools to get through it and get to the other side successfully.
Absolutely. I mean, we know that these medications, one of the issues that the article brings up, which I really like, is talking about some of the problems about these. We don't fully understand how these medications work in children. The dosages are different. The effects on the physiological system are different, and they're not well studied in children. The drugs to pass FDA approval are usually only studied in adults, and then doctors apply them to children. We saw a big, huge example of that with antidepressants. Now SSRIs have a black box warning because we found that they dramatically increase the rate of potential suicidal behavior in young children, not so much in adults. So the decision to use medication needs to be weighed heavily, and it's not something that I would say is inappropriate at all times, but the problem is the current system doesn't take into account other factors that maybe need to be considered before medication is tried or used in addition to medication. So people don't really look at the fact that diet and nutrition and what somebody is eating might be affecting what's going on with their mental and emotional state. Blood sugar swings, food sensitivities, food allergies, inflammatory foods. These are real issues that can cause influence on the brain and cause influence on mood, anxiety, depression, all of those things. And unless you have a team of doctors that can take a step back and look at all of the issues at hand, all of the physiological issues that are going on with your child to assess appropriately assess all of the different aspects, the only option that's going to be given to you is medication. And the reality is that there are many other options out there. You know, we talk about ADD and ADHD, 24 million prescriptions for ADD medications. Now, some children, a lot of parents come to me, they say they've tried everything possible before starting their child on an ADD medication. And they've tried behavioral things, they've hired special coaches to work with their children, but they've never really sat down and talked to somebody who knows what they're doing about the fundamentals of sleep schedules, about diet and nutrition, and about some of the other physiological issues that go into why a child might manifest with focus and concentration issues. 45 million prescriptions for asthma medications. Now, some kids will need those by all means. I'm not saying that we need to do away with medications, but the current medical system, as parents enter children with a problem into that system, there's no consideration of the other factors of lifestyle that are brought into play. And in the article, they talk to one of the physicians, I think he's a leading physician at a hospital in Arizona, who doesn't like to prescribe antihypertensive drugs to obese children. He likes to first work with diet and exercise. However, he admits that only 10% of parents that he recommends diet and exercise to follow through with it. So the kids end up on medication. And the problem is not the doctor's fault, because he's recommending that they don't go on antihypertensives. And the problem, I guess, isn't really the parents' fault in some way, because in a lot of cases, there's no resources. Parents walk away from these visits hearing that they should do diet and exercise to manage their child's obesity, yet they're given no resources. They're giving no guidance. There's no insurance coverage for seeing a doctor, for seeing a nutritionist, for seeing a personal trainer that can teach them how to do this for their child. And that's the problem with the medical system and how it's broken. Carrie, I know you have an important thought on that, but we're going to have to go to break. So we're going to be back in just a minute. This is Dr. Kevin Pacero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, and we'll be back right after these words.
There are trillions of cells in your body. When they are well nourished, they support energy levels, stress response, and all major organ systems. Quality whole foods contain intelligent, bioavailable nutrients. This intelligence cannot be mimicked by isolated fractions of vitamins and minerals alone. Choose a Megafood Cold Fusion food state or food-based formula and experience the true quality of radiant health. For more information, call 800-848-2542.
Bridging the gap between nutraceuticals and pharmaceuticals. That's the concept behind Zymogen's new exclusive and patented line of formulations, which utilize sophisticated delivery technologies to focus on specific molecular targets. The Zymogen EP line features Immunitix 3-6, a potent ingredient that has demonstrated a measurable ability to prime and enhance immune cell function. Applications include immune system support and support for white blood cell recovery following radiation therapy and other bone marrow affecting treatments. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
For over 10 years, Nordic Naturals has been the world leader in crafting omega-3 fish oils that are great for the body and for the planet. They work one-on-one with researchers and select fishermen to harvest only those fish species that are flourishing. With Nordic Naturals, you get all the benefits of omega-3, a strong heart, clear eyes, and flexible joints, plus the reassurance that their products are environmentally friendly. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
Listen. Blissful silence. The sound of a healthy, balanced digestive system. No rumbling stomach, no loud gurgles, and most of all, no discomfort. Jarrow Formula's Ideal Bowel Support 299V contains a clinically documented probiotic strain that promotes regularity, enhances intestinal comfort, and optimizes immune health. And now you can get a free sample of Ideal Bowel Support 299V when you visit our website at jarrow.com. Jarrow Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Do you have unique needs that a mass market pharmacy can't handle? Village Green Apothecary can help. Maybe your doctor prescribed a special compounded formula for you, or you have concerns about allergies or dietary supplements. We invite you to talk with one of our compounding specialists today. Our team of 50 includes pharmacists, nutritionists, a clinical herbalist, and a naturopath offering customized products and personalized healthy living plans to ensure your well-being. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM Federal News Radio, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero, and my wonderful co-host Dana Lake will return next week with another great show, so please tune in. We're here every Sunday morning from 10 to 11 a.m., and all of our shows are available for you to download for free on the Village Green website, myvillagegreen.com. Today we've been talking about children's health. I had a wonderful special guest in the studio, Dr. Carrie Marshall, another naturopathic doctor like myself. In the last segment, we were just touching upon the issues of some of the problems with the prescription, rise of prescription medications in the pediatric population. Again, there's a great article referred to in the Wall Street Journal and the Personal Journal that was on Tuesday, December 28th, 2010, called So Young and So Many Pills, that talks about these issues if anybody wants to read up on it further. In the last segment, we ended it just talking about, I was on sort of a little tirade about that, how the medical system is not really set up or equipped to really support parents and support kids in seeking out the kind of lifestyle interventional programs that could significantly reduce the amount of prescriptions that kids are on and improve the health of children. And I know my guest, Carrie, Dr. Marshall, who's done a lot of work with these issues, was just chomping at the bit to say something, but I had to cut her off. So, Carrie, Dr. Marshall, the floor is yours.
Yeah, you know, I know it can be really frustrating. You know, on the break, Dr. Passero and I were talking about something that he's doing with some local pediatricians in his own community in Annapolis, where one of his practices is. And it's something that, you know, doctors feel really at a loss. They don't have resources available to them. Parents don't have resources available to them. And, you know, you may know your child's obese, but you just don't know what to do about it. And we're looking at, within the public school system, they're reducing the amount of physical education. Some states, it's actually not even a requirement to have physical education. In middle school right now, my son, for one entire semester of the school year, he has no physical education, which means he is not moving his body at all during the course of a school week, which to me is just appalling. But I did want to make one resource available to all the listeners so that you do know that there is some hope. There is a bright light. And there are a lot of different groups that are taking initiatives to address childhood obesity and nutrition concerns. And one group that my son and I have been working with for the past 3 years, it's called the Alliance for a Healthier Generation. And you can Google them and go on to their website. And it's actually, it was initially launched as one of Bill Clinton's initiative after he himself was plagued with heart disease and, you know, has had many heart complications over the years and has really, if you remember back when he was president, he was actually filmed like jogging to McDonald's. It's quite interesting. And he's come a long way. He's lost a tremendous amount of weight and he's really changed his diet and exercised. And, you know, he was looking at some of the statistics within the country and saw that the childhood obesity rates were just skyrocketing. And so he made one of his initiatives not only to stop childhood obesity, but actually reverse the trend of childhood obesity and start bringing the numbers in the other direction. So he teamed up with the American Heart Association several years ago and formed this alliance. And they have a youth advisory board that my son is serving his third year on. And they're working on peer-to-peer communication with kids to help kids understand the importance of eating well and moving their body.
Right.
And they've done some amazing programs. And I'm bringing, you know, all of your attention to it because there's very specific resources on the website for parents. What can parents do? There's also resources for doctors. What can doctors do? There's resources for schools. How can you get your school involved? You know, I initially became involved in it when my kids started elementary school because I was appalled by the public school lunch program. And thankfully, just last month, we did actually sign into law. The president signed it. the Child Nutrition Reauthorization Bill, which will radically revamp the public school lunch program. Of course, we won't see those things overnight. Some of you, your kids will be out of high school before it actually some of these programs happen. But one of the really exciting things to me is there was a pilot program that was started many years ago called the Fresh Fruit and Vegetable Program. It seems like a no-brainer. Every school should have fresh fruits and vegetables. Well, they launched this program in 11 states across the country, and particularly in areas, more rural areas where, you know, there wasn't as much affluency as here in the D.C. metro area. And they found that by giving children free fresh fruits and vegetables, and, you know, it's interesting because they didn't put them on the school lunch tray. They literally handed them out to kids in the classroom or in the hallway because they knew if kids were hungry, because many kids go to school without eating breakfast, which is a whole nother show we could talk about. So they literally hand the kid a fresh apple in the hallway and they eat it. So it's not about here, you have to buy this fruit and vegetable. It's free fresh fruits and vegetables. And they found that when the kids were eating fresh fruits and vegetables, they were getting sick less often. They paid more attention in class. And, you know, a number of the things that we have concerns about for our kids. So there was less ADHD. Imagine that. Kids eat fruits and vegetables and they focus better and they get better grades. And so this pilot program was so landmark that when this bill was signed into law, that is one of the initiatives, as it will become available in all 50 states, which is very, very exciting. And I think it's something like in the next 3 years, we'll see, you know, something like 5 million children across the country getting fresh fruits and vegetables every day, which is very exciting.
Well, it's certainly a big improvement, and I'm glad it's starting with the schools, but really it starts with parents at home, you know, and parents need to educate themselves, and parents need to understand that the examples they set in the home are the examples that are going to be going on with their children. And, you know, as a parent, it's your job to guide the health of your child. So getting sugar out of the house, helping your child make good decisions, understanding where they're coming from, what challenges they're facing, and working with them on it. Most kids who are overweight don't want to be overweight. They're not happy with their body. They're getting pressure from peers. They're getting made fun of. They want to be healthier. They want to lose weight. They just don't know how to do it. And they don't have the psychological tools developed yet to really understand how to approach it and approach it in a mature way. And that's where parents really need to come into play. You know, when we talk about some basic nutrient recommendations, I mean, we look at asthma medication, ADD, and antidepressants, the top three main prescriptions that kids are on. 45 million prescriptions for asthma, 24 million for ADD, and 9 million for antidepressants. We already talked about omega-3 fatty acids earlier in the show, but just a simple recommendation like getting your child on good omega-3 fatty acids on a regular basis. There is research showing that every one of those three different conditions could be positively affected by something like omega-3 fatty acids. So stopping into a place like Village Green or talking with your physician or a naturopathic doctor that you're working with who knows about these different products, which ones are safe, which ones aren't going to have contaminants, the right appropriate dose for the size of your child and the age of your child. They're not going to be able to get your children off of medication right away by doing that, but it's certainly going to be something that's supporting their physiology in a positive way to help remove the underlying reason of why they're manifesting with the condition in the first place. We also talked about probiotics, definitely very important for the asthma issue. We know probiotics, especially when started at a young age, can have an influence on how the body develops allergies. So there are many different solutions that come from the natural pharmacy in helping to address these issues. Diet and nutrition plays a huge role. Asthma and ADD. Dr. Marshall talked about dairy products and how they create inflammation. Asthma is inflammation of the bronchial pathway. So if a child is more prone to developing inflammation from a food source or a food group, removing that food group can help reduce their asthma. And I've had kids in my office with chronic asthma, breathing related issues that get exacerbated every time they get an upper respiratory infection. The removal of dairy from their diet completely eliminated their predisposition to those issues and dramatically reduced the amount of medications that they had to be on. So this stuff does work. Just because it is not a fancy pharmaceutical that's had $15 billion of research invested into it and is prescribed by your doctor doesn't mean that it can't be extremely effective. And as naturopathic doctors and many other doctors out there who look into the alternative health field, we have those options available. So that about does it for time. Dr. Marshall, thank you so much for being on the show with us today.
Thanks for having me this morning.
All right, everybody. Dana Lake will be back next week, so don't forget to tune in. I'll be back in a few weeks with a show specifically related to childhood obesity, so don't forget to tune into that one. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary, and we'll see you next Sunday.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top-quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.